his fingers upon the lids, as though he sought to imprison within his brain some curious dream from which he feared he might awake. "It is your best work, Basil, the best thing you've ever done," said Lord Henry, languidly. "You must certainly send it next year to the Grosvenor. The Academy is too large and too vulgar. Whenever I've gone there, there have either been so many people that I've not been able to see the pictures, which was dreadful, or so many pictures that I've not been able to see the people, which was worse. The Grosvenor is really the only place." "I don't think I shall send it anywhere," Basil Hallward answered, tossing his head back in that odd way that used to make his friends laugh at him at Oxford. "No, I won't send it anywhere." Lord Henry elevated his eyebrows and looked at him in amazement through the thin blue wreaths of smoke that curled up in such fanciful whirls from his heavy, opium-tainted cigarette. "Not send it anywhere, my dear fellow, why? Have you any reason? What odd chaps you painters are. You do anything in the world to gain a reputation. As soon as you have one, you seem to want to throw it away. It's silly of you. There's only one thing in the world worse than being talked about, and that is not being talked about. A portrait like this would set you far above all the young men in England and make the old men quite jealous, if old men are ever capable of any emotion." "I know you will laugh at me," Basil Hallward replied, "but I really can't exhibit it. I've put too much of myself into it." Lord Henry stretched himself out on the divan and laughed. "Yes, I knew you would, but it is quite true, all the same. Too much of yourself in it? Upon my word, Basil, I didn't know you were so vain. I really can't see any resemblance between you, with your rugged, strong face and your coal-black hair, and this young Adonis, who looks as if he was made out of ivory and rose leaves." "You don't understand me, Harry," answered the artist. "Of course I'm not like him. I know that perfectly well. Indeed, I should be sorry to look like him. You shrug your shoulders, I'm telling you the truth. There is a fatality about all physical and intellectual distinction, the sort of fatality that seems to dog through history the faltering steps of kings. It is better not to be different from one's fellows. The ugly and the stupid have the best of it in this world. They consider their ease and gape at the play. If they know nothing of victory, they are at least spared the knowledge of defeat. They live as we all should live, undisturbed, indifferent, and without disquiet. They neither bring ruin upon others nor ever receive it from alien hands. Your rank and wealth, Harry, my brains, such as they are, my art, whatever it may be worth, Dorian Gray's good looks, we shall all suffer for what the gods have given us. Suffer terribly."
"Dorian Gray, is that his name?"
asked Lord Henry. "Yes, that is his name. I didn't intend to tell it to you." After a pause, Lord Henry pulled out his watch. "I'm afraid I must be going, Basil," he murmured. "And before I go, I insist on your answering a question I put to you some time ago. I want you to explain to me why you won't exhibit Dorian Gray's picture. I want the real reason." "I told you the real reason." "No, you did not. You said it was because there was too much of yourself in it. Now that is childish." "Harry," said Basil Hallward, looking him straight in the face, "every portrait that is painted with feeling is a portrait of the artist, not of the sitter. The sitter is merely the accident, the occasion. It is not he who is revealed by the painter. It is rather the painter who, on the coloured canvas, reveals himself. The reason I will not exhibit this picture is that I am afraid that I have shown in it the secret of my own soul." Lord Henry laughed. "And what is that?" he asked. "I will tell you," said Hallward. "I am afraid you will hardly understand it. Perhaps you will hardly believe it." Lord Henry smiled. "I'm quite sure I shall understand it. And as for believing things, I can believe anything, provided that it is quite incredible." Lord Henry felt as if he could hear Basil Hallward's heart beating, and wondered what was coming. "The story is simply this," said the painter after some time. 2 months ago, I went to a crush at Lady Brandon's. Well, after I'd been in the room about 10 minutes, talking to huge, overdressed dowagers and tedious academicians, I suddenly became conscious that someone was looking at me. I turned halfway round and saw Dorian Gray for the first time. When our eyes met, I felt that I was growing pale. A curious sensation of terror came over me. I knew that I had come face to face with someone whose mere personality was so fascinating that if I allowed it to do so, it would absorb my whole nature, my whole soul, my very art itself. I did not want any external influence in my life. You know yourself, Harry, how independent I am by nature. I've always been my own master.